This morning we are, in a sense, culminating our journey, a journey which began at the start of the season of Lent, and which last Sunday took us through the events of Palm Sunday. And on Thursday night we gathered in here thinking about the Last Supper, and Jesus going with some of his disciples out to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he was to be betrayed and arrested, and ultimately the following day crucified and laid in the tomb. Today, our journey brings us to resurrection morning.
Our reading from the Bible then is from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, starting at the beginning. And we invite you to follow it in the Pew Bible, where you'll find it on page 1089. John, chapter 20. Starting at verse 1. Let us hear the word of God. The empty tomb. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. May God bless to us this reading from his holy word. To his name be the praise and the glory forever. Amen.
Lord, on this resurrection morning, we bow again in your holy presence, asking that your word would be our rule of life, your Holy Spirit our teacher, and your greater glory our supreme concern through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. This morning I wanted us to think about the Gospels, the different versions of the Gospels, and think about the kind of stories that we remember from the Gospels, for each one of them tells the story slightly differently, and each one of us tells the story slightly differently. And as we gather this morning on Easter morning, each one of us will have different thoughts and expectations as to what Easter is all about. For me, Easter is about getting real. It's about real life. And real life is something that is so unusual that we can barely recognize it when we see it. Occasionally, though, we get a glimpse of real life and it touches us with awe. For example, at the birth of a baby, or if we're listening to a perfectly performed piece of music, or perhaps when we talk about the mathematics of infinity, real life. You see, all of these things have about them the combination of the ordinary and the extraordinary, the ordinary and the completely mysterious. These things that ping chords deep within us, within our mind and our heart. If a woman is in labor, you know that what will come out will be a baby. But that tells you so little about the completely new character who's emerging. However much you may imagine what a baby looks like or will be like when it's growing inside its mother, however much you try to read all the various stages of its development or see it on the screen of an ultrasound scanner, the newborn child is still a complete surprise. It's utterly familiar, but utterly strange. Last night on TV, something wonderful happened. Doctor Who was back on. Now, of course, it's a different actor. Some of the young folks here won't even remember Doctor Who in the past. Some of our teenagers won't even remember Doctor Who in the past. But for those of us who are just that wee bitty older, it's a new actor. And for those of us who've watched Doctor Who before, it'll take a bit of getting used to this new Doctor Who. But those of us who are old enough have seen Doctor Who regenerate before, and we know that although we may not recognize this new body, the person underneath is just the same. And if you've enjoyed Doctor Who in the past, then at last a whole new series of adventures lies ahead. In a way, the gospel story is very similar to our experience with Doctor Who. Not that Jesus regenerates over and over again, but the gospel accounts of the risen Jesus suggest that when people encountered him after he had risen, they didn't immediately know him. They didn't recognize him. On the whole, they're not terrified, and they don't imagine themselves to be in the presence of an alien life force or anything like that. They recognize that what's in front of them is a living human being, but not a familiar one. And even the people closest to Jesus need help to connect this risen Jesus with the man they loved. Mike read for us John's Gospel and John's telling of this Easter story. And in today's reading, you can, if you like, think of all kinds of reasons why Mary does not immediately see who Jesus is as he stands beside her in the garden. Mary's obviously in a terrible state. Her eyes are full of tears. Her imagination's full of macabre visions of death and grave robbers. She is utterly single-minded in her search for the dead body of her Lord, to the point where even a meeting with a pair of angels becomes uninteresting unless they can give her the one piece of information she wants. But none of these things seems real explanations of why she doesn't recognize Jesus. This is a woman whose whole mind is full of pictures of the man who stands before her, and yet she doesn't know him. The simple explanation, I think, must be the true one, that real life is something we are poorly equipped to understand. And so the gospel writer tells us that Jesus gives Mary a gift. The gift of sight. The gift of being able to connect the new life with the old. He says her name, and he makes a bridge for her to see who he is in all his extraordinary life. Now, you and I, by ourselves, we don't have power to see or understand God's vitality. By ourselves, we just plod on. And we try to be satisfied with the poor imitation that we call life, which is all about separation and death. But Jesus gives the gift of connection to the only true life, the life of our Creator, which is all about unity and all about sharing in the utterly real life of God. See, the Bible tells us that God's loving desire is to share His life with us. That's implicit in everything God does, from creating us to redeeming us. Life, the Bible says, is not natural to us, but life is a gift reflecting the giver. In the Old Testament, there's a prophet Jeremiah. And Jeremiah puts into God's mouth the words, "I have loved you with an everlasting love, therefore I have continued my faithfulness to you." I've loved you with an everlasting love, and therefore I have continued my faithfulness to you. That's the very heart of it, isn't it? We are loved into existence. And our continued existence is nothing to do with what we do, but it's a demonstration of God's continuing commitment to us. But for the moment, in this life, we must be content with the sudden and the fleeting reminders of God's eternal life, things that are available to us each day. We have always before us the vision of the risen Christ. And that helps us to recognize God's life wherever we see it. And we have His voice calling us by name, so that, like Mary, we can suddenly look up and see the Lord of life standing there beside us. And then, like Mary, we have to turn back to a world that is utterly changed and yet devastatingly the same. We know this world now to be almost electric with the presence of God. We know our own lives, if we're Christians, to be zinging with the resurrection life. And yet all of this is tantalizingly, as Paul says, hidden with Christ in God. None of us are called to cling to the presence of the risen Christ. Instead, like Mary, we are sent to shout out what we've seen and heard. You and I are a bit like God's spies. We're searching for evidence of Him in the robes of the gardener. We're listening for the familiar sound of God's voice, a beloved voice, the voice of our Lord. We listen for that in the unrecognized voices of strangers around us. We help to build the bridges of love that enable other people to hear Jesus' voice as well, and to recognize the vast and the free and the unchanging, faithful love of God. That's what real life is about. That's why Jesus died on the cross and rose again to bring us life, life in all its fullness.